Thank you, Liz. You read so well. I could have heard the rest of Genesis, and I can sit down. But folks, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we again just thank you for your word. And Lord, please take away any tiredness we might have. Help us to concentrate as we hear from you. And Lord, we pray that regardless of how many times we've heard these truths, you might humble us, and that you might reach deep into our hearts so that we might be better equipped to love and serve you. And we do pray these things for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. You know, everyone wants to please someone they love, don't you? Don't they? Yeah? You, of course you want to please someone that you love. I asked Debbie, and without context, I said, "Darling, how can I please you?" And as quick as a flash, he said, "Put the toilet seat down after you use it." That's what she said. I'll have to work on that one. But it's obviously the things I do, the things I say. It's my words, it's my actions. It's helping her around the household. It's not taking her for granted. And I think that's how sometimes people get in trouble in their relationships. They take the other person for granted. That's how I think sometimes we can get in trouble with God. We take him for granted, where we don't treat him as special, or we don't trust him. Well, how do we please God? Folks, we please God when we put our trust in him, when we absolutely believe and bank on his word. In Hebrews 11 it says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Without faith it is impossible to please God. In 1 John the false teachers had no intentions to please God. They were just interested in pleasing themselves, or some of them were anyway. And they wanted to say, you are free to do as you please. Sin is not an issue. Live today and not for tomorrow. It's reminiscent of the words Paul used when he said, if there was no resurrection, you might as well eat, drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Many people are like that. They live for today. They have no idea or sense in wanting to please God, but to please themselves. Sin and eternity never enter their mind. So how can we please God? Well, firstly, our faith in Jesus, and we've read these words together. Let's read again. I think they're helpful words. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And in Genesis, Liz read to us, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteous. So the way we are made right with God, the way that we have become children of God, is through our trust, is through our faith, is believing in God. You know, most people believe in a God, but not necessarily in Jesus. The Christian belief is in Jesus. Last night, before Jesus died, he said, believe God, believe also in me. You see, just to believe the existence of God won't cut it, won't make us children of God, won't get us into heaven. So what should we do as part of his family? Well, those words there, believe that Jesus is the Christ. Let's just have a look at those words. Jesus, what does Jesus mean? He's our Saviour, to save us from our sins. And we know he did that through his death and resurrection. Notice the next word, Jesus is. Not was. Julius Caesar was. Napoleon Bonaparte was. Jesus is. Yes, he died, but he rose from the dead 3 days later. And he sits at God's right hand now. Jesus is. He is the Christ, not a Christ. He's not our prophet or our God. He's not like the prophet Muhammad or the guru Buddha. Jesus is the Christ, God's anointed King who is divine. Jesus is God. Last week we looked at he is the fullness of God. Everything about God fits into Jesus. He's our deliverer. He's our saviour. He's the one that helps us in our habit to sin, not to sin. It's not just saying these words that make you a Christian. Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Christ. You know, a parrot can do that. But it's everyone who believes, who trusts in the promises of God, in the word of God. And once we do that, we have a promise there, we are born of God. Well, what are the signs of our faith in Jesus? We read these words, everyone who believes the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. I mean, we're coming back again and again to these same themes. The sign of our faith is that we love each other and that we're obedient. You know, there's a rule with the mafia, at least there was a rule with the mafia. You hurt my child and you hurt me. So if the mafia wanted to go out after somebody, they wouldn't necessarily go after their adversary, they would go after their children. Because if you hurt the children, you hurt the people that you're trying to get. And folks, I want to say in a similar way, you can't divorce God from his children. If we hurt our brother and sister, we hurt God as well. Do you remember when Saul was walking through Damascus? And do you remember on the road to Damascus, and do you remember the words of the Jesus? Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And at the time, the Apostle Paul, well, he wasn't an apostle then, but he was murdering Christians. He thought that's what God's will was, to get rid of the Christians. And Jesus said, no, whatever you do to my children, you do to me. You can't have one without the other. Anyone who says differently, John says, is a liar. Our love for God will be proved by our love for one another. And that's what makes us different. So, folks, if we're avoiding somebody in the family of God, if we're gossiping, slandering, if we're not putting in ourselves in a position to serve or share, think about it, are we any different from the world? If we continue to exclude each other or sidestep reconciliation or keeping a hold of grudges and not forgiving, if we continue in that manner, are we children of God? You know, when we ignore our brother or sister, according to this truth, we're ignoring God, aren't we? If we curse a brother or a sister, we're cursing God. If we mock a brother or a sister, we're mocking God. If we're criticizing a brother, we're criticizing God. But if we're loving one another, we are loving God. You know, a Christian who doesn't make church a priority really are deluding themselves. Because you can only love the saints when you gather together and you get to know them. And that's what we do here on a Sunday, isn't it? Besides worshipping God, besides hearing from his word, we go out there, and that's still church, I want to say, folks. Because that's when we learn about another. That's where we can work out how we can serve and how we can love one another. We need to spend time with one another if we're going to have an influence with one another. The proof we love God is that we love each other. How many times have we heard that as we've been going through John? It sounds Irish. It sounds like a circular argument. But that's what it says in verse 1 and verse 2. Everyone who loves a father loves his child. And the love of the children of God by loving God. Each love proves the other. If you love God, you love your brother and sister, and vice versa. If you're loving your brother and sister, you are loving God. The second sign of our faith is obedience. And obeying the word of God is practical and it is for our own good. It ought not to be burdensome. You know, sometimes we say the Ten Commandments in the Lord's Supper, and what that's designed to do is to remind us of God's perfection. It shows up our sin, but it also shows how we are to express our love to one another. And the reason why our world doesn't obey God is because they don't love God. They find God's law, they find God's ways as burdensome, out of date, irrelevant. It's like some of these false teachers at the time. They want freedom to do as they please. And people think they are freed from God's laws when they don't have to obey. Whether it's regards to money, whether it's regards to sex. The trouble is they become imprisoned by those things, not freedom. You probably know people who are greedy. They can't stop being greedy. Idols, success, immorality. If you continue to practice those things, you become imprisoned by those things. Christian freedom is the power and desire to keep God's laws. Folks, we have a choice that the outside world doesn't. We can choose to obey and we can choose to disobey. And we can have joyful obedience to God when we realise it's a family matter. When we realise it's a family matter. Our Heavenly Father is a loving Father. And we know the gospel, who sent his son Jesus to die and rise so that we can be forgiven, so that we can become children of God. A grudging or reluctant obedience will take place when we take the grace of God for granted, when we forget his great love for us. Our world has no freedom to obey. They can only disobey. For us, the signs of our faith will be seen in our love and our obedience. You know, Alexander the Great had a great army and he was nearly ruling the whole world. And at one stage during battle, one of his soldiers showed great fear. And Alexander went over to the soldier and he said, "What is your name?" And the soldier answered, "My name is Alexander." And Alexander the Great looked him straight in the eye of this soldier, Alexander, and he said, "Get there and fight or change your name." Folks, as a Christian, we fight the good fight to love and obey. Be what our name suggests. We are children of God. We are followers of Christ. Love and obey are the signs of our faith. What is the truth of our faith in Christ? How do we really, really, really know that Jesus is God? In verse 7, there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. You know, when there's a conviction, say of Ivan Milat some years ago, it was the testimony of various people and ultimately the testimony of a fellow by the name of Paul Onion, who was a UK backpacker. And with those testimonies of those few people, and when they looked at the evidence, it was overwhelming. And Ivan Milat was sent to prison. In John's times, the law required at least two to testify, to deem something as true. John provides three here, or God provides three. Firstly, the water. And it's a reference to Jesus' baptism. Do you remember when Jesus got baptized by John the Baptist? And then we heard a voice from heaven. What did that voice say? "Behold, this is my son in whom I am well pleased." And at the same time, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. It was like God's way in anointing Jesus for the big job he had to do. It was proof of his identity. The business is about the blood just after Jesus entered Jerusalem. And do you remember that Jesus wept for Jerusalem? Why was he weeping? Because he would have to go through the cross? No, he was weeping for the people. He was weeping for the people because they didn't believe. And when Jesus says in John 12:27, he says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And it's obviously a reference to his resurrection where God would be glorified. You see, we have the Father's testimony. And even when Jesus died, there was darkness, if you remember. There was an earthquake. There was the veil in the temple that ripped from top to bottom. And there was that soldier that said, surely this man was really the Son of God. And then there's the Spirit. The Spirit testifies with our spirit we are children of God. And he is the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of Jesus. He's the Spirit that convicts us of sin. He convicts us of the truth. Verse 10, anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Why do I believe? Because I've seen the evidence of the Scriptures. I know it in my heart. And folks, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts me, that assures me that what I read in the Scriptures, what I hear from the Scriptures is God's truth. And so it's by the facts of Jesus' baptism, his death and resurrection, and the testimony of the Holy Spirit, we know the truth of our faith centres around Jesus, the Son of God. And finally, the consequences of faith in Christ. In verse 11, and this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So he's given us a quantity of life and a quality of life. Firstly, the quantity of life, eternal life. Life in heaven. And in all the children of God will be living in perfect harmony. Is that good? That's fantastic, isn't it? There'll be no more bitching. There'll be no more carrying on. We'll be loving each other. So that's why we better get used to it now. Because we're all going to be in heaven together. And notice it says there, God has given us eternal life. We've got it. It's our inheritance now. It's a present possession. It's like when John says in the book of Revelation, your name is written in the book of life. And it was there before the very foundation of the world. Think about it. Your name is written in a book, the book of heaven. Paul puts it this way, our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we belong. Folks, no matter what we go through in life, we will always have the prospect of looking forward to the future, to our heavenly home. Yes, and this world will throw up some curveballs, and this world may not always be easy. But we've got to think to the future. We've got to think where there is hope, there is comfort. Jesus also promises a new quality of life. Do you remember in John's Gospel, I have come that you might have life and life to the fullest. The quality of life. And that's now. We have the Holy Spirit who guides us, who convicts us. We have the Word of God. We have his will. We have his purposes. We know we have forgiveness where we are released from guilt and condemnation. We can have a joyful life. And in verses 13 to 21, and I'm not going to say too much about this, but God hears us in prayer because of our relationship with Jesus. Verse 14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, He hears us. God has promised that he will supply all our needs. Yeah? Not our greeds. And if we are obeying his will, if we really want something, he will supply it in his way and in his time. You know, most fathers know how to give good gifts to their kids, don't they? Most parents. Especially if they're good parents. How much more does our Heavenly Father know how to give us good things? And when we pray, sometimes God will say yes. Sometimes God will say wait. Sometimes God will say no. You know, I remember saying no to my kids when they were younger. We lived at a dead end, in a dead end street, I should say. And the kids, all the local kids came out and they used to play cricket in the street. And sometimes the ball would go out onto the road where the cars would come through. And I remember my eldest son, Luke, he was only very young, and he said, "Dad, can I go play cricket with the other boys?" And they were a lot older. And I said, "No." Well, I was the worst father ever, wasn't I? But he didn't understand that he was still small, he was still young. The other kids probably had a better understanding of cars coming, and he didn't. He thought I was a bad dad, but in the end, I wondered what was best for him. And sometimes that's how God looks upon us. We don't always see the consequences. We don't always see what's best for us, but God does. Well, what about your faith, folks? Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Folks, our faith, if you are a Christian, praise God, won't you? Your faith is real and it is valuable. And I guess the question we're going to ask ourselves, will we respond in love and obedience? Jesus is our example. He was obedient unto death on a cross. He loved us so much that he went to death on a cross. Jesus is the treasure we can easily take for granted. You know, I mentioned this morning that my dad built a house some years ago in Sylvania, and it was a two-story place, and we were one street from the water, and we had this fantastic view of the Captain Cook Bridge. Do you know what I'm talking about? And I remember our place was straight in the middle of the little red dot on the top of the bridge there. And we all went up there the first 2 or 3 weeks. Wow, look at the view, look at the view, look at the view. After that, we never looked at it. We just took it for granted. And I think that's what we sometimes do with the Lord. We sometimes can take God's special grace, the treasures that we have, for granted. We don't always know the value of the Lord Jesus. You know, in 1860, there was a man who claimed that he knew Abraham Lincoln. And this man who believed he knew Abraham Lincoln, he was a beggar. And he was a bit dirty. And he had some of his mates. And they used to rib him about, "Oh, you don't know Abraham Lincoln." And he kept on saying, "I knew Abraham Lincoln." And then one day he ripped out this piece of paper. It was a dirty piece of paper. And there was Abraham Lincoln's signature. And the beggar said, I can't read, but I did see him sign that piece of paper." And his mates grabbed the piece of paper and they looked at it and they said, "You don't know what you've got here." Apparently it was a check for $10,000. Be no good today, would it? What's a check? Do you know what I'm talking about, young people? A check, yeah? But folks, we are so blessed. We are so blessed. And sometimes we don't realise the blessings that we do have. Sometimes we forget how rich we are in Christ. Sometimes we forget the victory that we have in Christ. Sometimes we forget we have all of God's truth in the Scriptures. All of God's love in Christ. Can I encourage us, as I challenge myself, to live a life pleasing to God as we live lives of obedience and faith for the glory of God? And that's what 1 John is about. Let me pray. Lord, again, we thank you for your goodness to us. And Father, please help us never to get tired of hearing the gospel, never get tired of understanding your word. Father, we ask that you might instill us through your spirit, through your word, through the fellowship of believers, that we might encourage one another to love one another and to be obedient to your word. And we do pray all these things for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.